You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And to come and save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Thank you so much for inviting me to share with you today. I am absolutely honored to be part of your Parents of Preschoolers gathering. Homeschooling is a passion of mine, and so your homeschool co-op is very, very important. And being the mother of a preschooler is absolutely a great joy in my life. So thank you so much for inviting me to share with you today. And I am more convinced than ever before that motherhood is sacred. Oh, I know. It always has been. In fact, in Indigenous families, matrilineal heritage helps you find your identity. You trace it through your mother and your grandmothers. And cultures all over the world have the matriarchy in place, where mothers and grandmothers and aunts and big sisters all are part of making decisions and leading lives. But in these times, motherhood is sacred. I think God has always thought that motherhood was sacred. In fact, throughout the Bible, the greatest petitions that we see are women that desire children, women who desire the healing and the deliverance of their children, and of course, fathers too. But since we're mothers of preschoolers, we're talking about us today. The nobleman's son is a very important example. J. Iris's daughter is a very important example of how fathers dearly love their children and pray for their healing. But as mothers of preschoolers today, I'm convinced that God has entrusted us with an incredibly sacred task. Mothers of preschoolers, newborn, up to age 5, maybe 6, we are actually our children's first teacher. We are their introduction to God. We can bring them to Jesus. We have an incredible, wonderful privilege right now. The world has always been challenging. I mean, imagine trying to parent during the plagues of medieval Europe, or being a mother during the forced relocation of the Trail of Tears, trying to raise children during the evils of slavery, doing the best you can to bring up your kids in a world that's rationed, World War II. You're doing the best you can at any era, and there are always unique challenges. When we say motherhood is sacred, it is not to exalt ourselves or to be elite or to exclude folks that don't have children. I'm telling you that motherhood is sacred because you need to know that right now. Have you seen the headlines? World War III? Have you seen the shortages of formula and diapers and milk and eggs? Have you seen the prices that inflation has brought? Have you seen how many people have been lost to an enemy we can't see throughout the pandemic? And so I'm building you up, because for such a time as this, as it says in the book of Esther, you were created. You were created to be mothers of preschoolers who were created to have a call on their lives, an assignment for their lives, divine direction for their lives, for such a time as this. How do we navigate these perilous times? What do we do when you can't see your enemy? You don't even know if it's there or not. It's airborne. What do we do when you don't know if going to a festival or a birthday party or school or a parade or a country music concert will end in shootings? What do we do to take care of our children and raise them when prices are so high, when there are shortages on things on which we depend, when the very institutions that we rely on and believe we can trust are not as trustworthy as we thought? I've prayed about this. And for those of us who are mothers, who act in the role of mothers, who are caregivers, who take care of children, who are raising children, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, cousins, sisters, and brothers, we all can do this. Walk wisely. Walk wisely. The Proverbs tell us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is so precious that when King Solomon finished making all these offerings in Gibeon, he went to bed and God appeared to him and asked, "Me what I shall give thee." Can you imagine that? Ask God for whatever you want, whatever you want him to give you. And Solomon's answer was wisdom. He said he was like a little child. He didn't know how to go out. He didn't know how to come in. And so he needed wisdom, because this was such a great people and so many to govern. And God said something that helps all of us today. He told Solomon that he had chosen rightly. And because he chose wisdom over all these other things that he could have had, God would give him that wisdom, and that wisdom would bring into his life everything else. Walking wisely will help you raise your children. Walking wisely will help you keep them healthy. Walking wisely will help you keep them safe. Walking wisely will make sure that they meet Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to be saved. Walking wisely will give you direction and order in your life. A man's mind plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Walking wisely will help you financially. Walking wisely will help you make good decisions and right choices. Walking wisely will protect you. I mean, when you have to choose pediatricians and babysitters and homeschool curriculum and preschool programs and people to be around and friends to be around and what to do, and walking wisely will help you. Walking wisely will place you in a position to be led by God. Fear God and do his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, right? Ecclesiastes says that. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. And so when you're walking wisely, you're in a position to hear from God. No audible voices or strange apparitions, but that still small voice that's inside of us. Intuition and discernment. The Holy Spirit. Wisdom. For to the man that is good in his sight, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. Walk wisely. Wisdom is so important right now. I mean, imagine, you know, my granddaddy used to say, I don't have to know everything. I just have to know somebody that does. Right? Right. Imagine. Imagine having a friend who knew all about cars and how to fix yours, how to keep it running. Imagine having a friend who knew where all the sales and the deals and the bargains are and could lead you in your shopping. Imagine having a friend who understands your child from the inside out and can help you understand them. How to help them, how to raise them, what to do. Imagine having a friend who would lead you and guide you in such a way that your children would rise up and call you blessed. Proverbs 31. Well, congratulations. The Holy Spirit is that friend. Jesus has made unto you wisdom. So when I say walk wisely, that doesn't mean you have to get every parenting book in the world and read it before tomorrow so that you know what to do. It means that you have to be led to the right books or the right resources or the right people or just knowing what to do. Okay. I know. It sounds good, right? It sounds like, yeah, we need that. And let me tell you why. Because you and your children have an enemy. I mean, we can absolutely be, you know, we can put our heads in the sand and we can hope for the best. And the best is good, right? But it's better if we acknowledge the truth and then ask God to help us live in that truth and navigate through that truth. We're not going to have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And wisdom is exactly how we're going to do that. In the wonderful Exodus, it says in chapter 1 that the Egyptians had enslaved the children of Israel and were making their lives very awful with hard bondage and afflicting them, and they were just absolutely mistreated. And it says, and the king of Egypt, Exodus 1:15, spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, ye shall kill him. Then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Y'all see that? They absolutely do the right thing. They do not kill the children. Thank God. I think these women are just unsung heroes of the Bible, really. Because they don't, the children of Israel continue to multiply and continue to thrive and grow. And they become a multitude by the time they leave Egypt. And yet, look at the wisdom in that. When Joseph later on stands before Pharaoh, he says, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Jesus said that God would give us a mouth and wisdom that the enemy cannot gainsay or resist. And that's exactly what happens here. They have an answer. I mean, here they are in front of someone who could take their lives for doing the right thing, and yet God puts these words in their mouths, and they are saved. Exodus 1:20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Isn't that beautiful? Because they feared God, God blessed them with their own families. They walked wisely. They obeyed God, and when they were challenged, they had wise words to say, and their lives were spared. All right, I know. You're like, well, that was good. That was them, right? I mean, that happened to them. Well, God loves you too. And he has a plan for you. He has wisdom for you. He has amazing direction for you because you have an enemy. Kill, steal, destroy. And the enemy is frequently focused on our children and the children in the earth today and the children that are trying to be born into the earth. And the enemy is, a defeated foe. He's defeated. He's already defeated. But let's look at the wisdom of God in a situation that I think all of us might be familiar with, but we need to think of it in terms of wisdom and walking wisely in our lives. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." I think that's so important to think about these days. Homeschooling is kind of a way of protecting and nurturing our children. Choosing the right way to worship and places to worship is a way of nurturing our children and protecting our children. Choosing the right community and people to have around them, right? We don't want to choose the wrong babysitter. We don't want to leave anybody home with the wrong uncle or play cousin. Where they are and what they do, helping them to be in safe places and wise places and good places, healthy places at all times. "And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it." Y'all remember another ark back in Genesis? Yeah. Our children are in the ark of safety if they're in Christ. And we're creating an ark even in our own homes, even in the decisions and wisdom that we walk in. That creates an ark of safety for our children. "And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" You see all this wisdom? The wisdom to build an ark, and it works. It doesn't just sink or get eaten by a crocodile. And for those of you interested in right place, right time, this is one of those, because it comes right to when Pharaoh's daughter comes. It doesn't right to a soldier go. It doesn't row down to a crocodile. Right place, right time, right person. Wisdom will do that for you. Wisdom will make sure that your child's in the right classroom with the right teacher. Wisdom will make sure that you are in the right place at the right time with the right people. Because look who's just standing right there. "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Wow. Oh, wow. Wisdom will bring miracles into your life. I mean, this is amazing. Wisdom will line things up for you, and you'll just walk right into them. These good works that you're predestined to walk into. And so the baby literally goes back to his own mother to nurse. His sister had the presence of mind and the wisdom to say the right thing and the boldness too, right? The Pharaoh's daughter likes him and has favor with him and upon him. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Wisdom saves lives. Wisdom protects you. Wisdom protects your children. Wisdom looks at impossible circumstances and absolutely shocking things happening, and wisdom says, here's what you do. Here's when you do it. Here's how you do it. Right? They put the baby in an ark, for example. They could have just put him on a raft, and it might not have gone so well. Could have just laid him by the side of the palace, and the bodyguards find him. But they knew what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and with whom. His sister standing right there. Wisdom is the principal thing. It is absolutely 100% necessary. And we can see in these past times how necessary wisdom is, and we can see how now wisdom is a defense. That's what the Bible says. Wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But wisdom prospers in them that hear it and have it. Wisdom is a defense. Isn't that important? I mean, with everything happening right now, wisdom will defend you. Wisdom will protect you. And I have another example of that. From my own life, when COVID-19 first started, people did not seem to know what to do or how it was even transmitted. Everyone was sanitizing their hands, and COVID is airborne, and there was no vaccine yet, and there was no treatments yet, and people were dying. Lots of misinformation, lots of confusion, lots of difficulty at that point. And I had a little baby. I didn't know what to do, how to keep him safe and how to protect him from it. Now we have so much more information, and we have some mitigations, you know. We now have N95 masks that we wear everywhere we go, but back then people were using cloth masks and bandanas and just whatever you could find, and we just didn't know what to do. And I prayed for wisdom, and the Lord laid on my heart the story of Joash. I know, right? I mean, you know, Joash is not widely taught or widely discussed in a lot of circles, but he probably should be right about now, because it says that in 2 Chronicles 22, just literally one of the wickedest women in the world was on a rampage. Just absolutely on a rampage. Verse 10, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. That's a genocide. That's doing the same thing as a plague. I mean, that's literally a whole group of people wiped out. 11, but Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of King Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. During that whole reign of terror, they kept this little boy safe. One translation says, because she kept him hidden, she kept him alive. Now, I am not saying lock up your children in the bedroom. No, please do not do that. And I don't think any of us would. But what it meant was she made a wise decision to keep him away from the harm that was rampaging at that time. That doesn't mean you hide in your house. It doesn't mean, you know, we're going to keep our children hidden and hostage. But it meant that we make wise decisions about where they go and what they do. And at that moment, as the pandemic was rampaging and we didn't know what to do, social distancing became the best idea for us. Well, I wonder if that works for so many other areas. We're not going to literally lock our children up. Please don't do that. But we might choose wisely the friends and families that they can have play dates or sleepovers with. We might choose wisely the curriculum and the learning that we allow them to have contact with. We might hide them from bad influences and evil things, and wicked people, and encourage them that what is good and what is lovely and of what is good report, and those are the things and the people that we would have them around. Okay. All right. Wisdom sounding pretty good right about now, isn't it? It really is. Yeah, it is. And I think it's a super important thing that we need to teach our children, in addition to all the wonderful things of science and math and art and music and language arts and social studies and other languages. Those are important to learn. But wisdom is the principal thing. If we teach our children to walk in wisdom, if we teach our children that wisdom and knowledge and joy are rewards that God offers them, we can raise a generation that literally just misses a lot of terrible things. A friend of mine was talking about teenagers the other day, and I'm not really there yet. My nephew is a teenager, so, you know, I'm listening, paying attention. And she said, you know, there's this myth that teenagers have to go bad, and they have to act awful, and they have to make a bunch of mistakes, and they have to make just terrible, life-shattering decisions in order to find out who they are. Or, you know, they have to try a bunch of stuff and be wild and all of that to get it out of their system. Okay. All right. No, they don't. No, they don't. I didn't. And I know lots of other families who have people that just didn't do that. We just went to school and got good grades and went to church and youth group and did what we're supposed to do and ended up okay. I think that's something we have to start thinking about as well. That wisdom will help guide you along good paths, pleasant paths, days of prosperity and years and pleasures, not just tragedy and terrible things and then we have to figure out how to get you out of them. Wisdom will help you avoid pitfalls and danger. Wisdom will keep you away from wrong people and bad decisions. And if you do have the wrong people or the wrong decisions or the wrong things, wisdom will help get you back on track. Wisdom will help you to move in a better direction, in a better way. Wisdom is incredibly valuable because wisdom knows the future. I don't know the future, but wisdom knows the future.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Hey, told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are 3 voices.
You want this drum over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
We are strong and we'll get through this together, but these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Peace Corps, life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I was delighted, absolutely delighted, by how wisdom has helped me in motherhood in ways that I would not have necessarily been expecting before or thinking about previously. I was thinking about one time I was ordering diapers from Amazon, and I ordered a bulk package, and it was really big. And all of a sudden, on the inside of me, just a still small unction, buy two. So I did. And then I had tons of diapers. I'm trying to figure out where to put them all and all this kind of stuff, and I had a whole bunch of diapers. And then less than a week later, there was a shortage. But I had plenty. Made it through. Some of you are nodding because you've had things like that. You got ready to go the same old way to work that you always go, and you just decide, oh, I think I'll go a different way. And you did, and now, hey, look, yay. I had an appointment, important appointment, in fact, and it was fine. I was cool with it. There was no problem in going. I was going to go. And then about 2 days before, I had this heavy feeling on my spirit. Y'all ever had that? Yeah. And I couldn't get peaceful about that appointment. I couldn't get comfortable. Like, I'd lay down and go to sleep, try to go to sleep, and I'd be tossing and turning about that appointment. And I even said to my friends, I'm like, what do you think? And they're like, well, you're not scared to go. No, I'm not. You've been before? Yeah, I have. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got up that morning, and I had no peace, and I was so uncomfortable. I just didn't feel right about it. Finally, I canceled it. Like an hour before I was supposed to go. And I thought, well, they can always charge me the late fee or whatever. But I canceled it. And immediately I had peace. I mean, incredible. You're nodding. Some of you are nodding. Yeah. Incredible peace. Like, whew, okay. So I knew it had to be related to that. It's not like I canceled that appointment and then still felt uneasy and terrible. It's like as soon as I did cancel it, oh, it was fine. 2 business days later, I get an email. And it said, if you have been to this appointment this week, in this situation, in this place, this location, you were exposed to COVID-19 because the provider had it. Well, I wasn't, because I wasn't there. I didn't go to that appointment. I wasn't there. And wisdom is what protected me. Sometimes I don't want to. I don't think that's right for my family. I don't feel like that's good for my children. It's all you're going to get from God. And because motherhood is sacred, not because we have ego or we think we're elite or we think we're better than anyone, that's not it. It's because you have been assigned to raise and nurture your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So you have a divine assignment. Somebody else doesn't have that assignment. So somebody else says to you, oh, I think they ought to do this. That's not their children. I'm not talking about the pediatrician. I'm not talking about experts who are helping you with your children. That's not what I mean. But I mean, if you decide something is right for your children, and it is right, and it is sound, and it's not, you know, bizarre or anything, you have a sacred unction. You have the mind of Christ, and you know all things. Now, let's not take that into a ditch the other way and just be like, you know, we're going to oppress our children, and we're going to refuse all education and knowledge, and we're just going to be, you know, autocrats, because we're not. We're parents. But motherhood is sacred, and so that means you have an anointing to raise the children that God has given you. You may not have anointing for your neighbor's children, so they may do something totally different than what you're doing, and it works for them because motherhood is sacred, and that's their anointing. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord, right? So that wonderful unction that you have, that wonderful intuition, mother's intuition. And, you know, people say that like, oh, mother's intuition, like it's folk wisdom or folklore or whatever. But at one point, it was literally considered almost a medical fact. And now we know why. Microchimerism and things like that, that, for example, mothers carry cells from their sons in their bodies all the days of their lives. So we do have a divine connection to our children. We have carried them. We know them well. We recognize they're familiar to us in the Spirit of God. And so that's why we can make decisions for our children, and maybe our neighbor down the street said, I did this way. Okay, because those were your children. And we should get advice, I think. I think we should listen to wisdom from mentors and elders and people who know. Titus talks about that, right? But maybe the reason you're doing some things that are different, and maybe some people don't understand them, but they're good things and right things, and they're working for your children and family, is because you're anointed for those children. It's kind of like a study that proved that mothers could recognize and discern the cry of their own infant almost from birth. Like literally after a couple days, they were like, oh, that's my baby crying. And when it's your baby, oh, yeah, you get up, you move, you do different. A baby on the TV, you're like, I'm still texting. Oh, what? I heard my child say help. And you go into super mom mode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You notice you see things differently? I do. I see staples. Like what the other day, I saw a staple, one staple that was on the carpet. Everyone else walked past it. No one else noticed it. I saw it. I was like, oh, a staple. I've got to pick this up. Yeah, right. Somebody's saying that happened to them with a thumbtack. Yeah. You start seeing all the places that aren't baby-proof. Somebody else just walking through the house saying, this looks safe to me. And you're like, oh, I saw that. I saw this. You notice things, vibes about people. I love people who love my child. And anybody who doesn't like us, I don't want to be around. Wisdom is so important. I mean, I can't even tell you how important it is. So I will let Jesus tell you. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, verse 18 of chapter 1. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Isn't that incredible? I mean, Joseph's heart is fantastic. He's obedient. He listens to God. He follows God's instructions. He can be trusted with sacred, wonderful Mary and with our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Joseph already had a plan. He had an idea of what he was going to do. And yet when he got wisdom, divine, sacred wisdom, he left his plan behind and followed God's plan. Look at this. This is incredible, really. We call them the wise men, the magi, but they come to see Jesus when he's born. He's a child. They come to see him when he's a child. And when they were come into the house, Matthew 2, verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Wisdom will save your life. Can you imagine? I have had so many experiences like this in the mountains of North Carolina. Just go a different way. Just turn around. Coming back from the beauty parlor, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I look and I see that Soco Road has a snowstorm beginning. And I'm turning around and going a different way. Takes a little bit longer, but I get home. And I get home before the snow makes it to Yellow Hill. Some of you have had those same experiences, and they're not always dramatic. I mean, this is dramatic. They're warned in a dream. But sometimes it's just you have a warning. Somebody says something. You overhear something. You see something on social media. You know from another parent. You just have a warning that you should go another way. You were going to, and I'm not just talking about going somewhere, because I've had a lot of that. I was going to go here, but no, I was warned, and I'm not going. And the warning can be as simple as, I don't want to. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't feel like it. I just don't want to do that today. I don't think that's the best idea for our family. I don't think that's good for my children. I don't think that's where my children should go to school. I don't think that's where my children should go. I don't think my children should sleep over at other people's houses. I don't think my children should be swimming or, out near water, and I'm not with them. I don't want to let my children do that. I don't want to let my children go here. Lots of wonderful, good places for them to go, and we'll go there instead, and we'll do a lot of fun things, and we'll do a lot of educational things, and we'll learn a lot, but I just don't think they should go to that event today in that location. Yeah, sometimes you just got to go another way, and wisdom will help you do that. And then look here. And when they were departed, Matthew 2:13, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Oh my goodness, this is so important. God will give you wisdom about your children, about your spouse, about your family, he will give you wisdom about your children. Absolutely will. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Wow. The enemy was rampaging. I mean, Herod was literally killing little children. And where was Jesus? Somewhere else. Can you imagine that? Something, all kinds of terrible things are happening. Dangerous things are happening. Difficult things are happening. Stressful things are happening. And you're just not there. Your child just isn't there. They're someplace else. And the obedience of Joseph. I mean, Joseph receives these directions, this wisdom from God. But Mary has to cooperate with it. She has to go too. And these parents could have said, look, we just started our family. We got a bunch of gold and frankincense and myrrh here, and Joseph's building up his carpentry business, and he's doing a good job, and all our friends and family are here. We're not going anywhere. And Herod was coming. The enemy was coming. Whew. Wisdom will save your life, and it will protect and save and help your children. I mean, God didn't even give a whole lot of details. He just said, you know, you got to go. Time to go. Get them. Here's where you're going. I mean, Egypt is a big place. They had to relocate and start over. And I'm not telling you, you have to do that. I'm just saying that sometimes God will lead you in a direction and you won't have all the answers, but you'll know it's God and you'll do something and it'll turn out that the wisdom is the principal thing. Let's look at verse 19 right here. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Look at that obedience. I mean, okay, we left our homeland and we went to Egypt and we built a life for ourselves there and we figured we'd just stay in Egypt and just be Egyptian, I guess. And then all of a sudden God says, oh no, okay, the threat is over, the danger's over, go back, go over here. And he does. Whatever life he built there, whatever, Mary had friends and Jesus had playmates and they had a carpentry business and they get up and go. They follow the wisdom of God. And I just wanted y'all to see that because these are examples of parents. These are parents. These are nice, wonderful people who have children, and they are following the wisdom of God, and it is making a huge difference in their lives. Well, what if I feel like I shouldn't go to that appointment, and I go, I don't go, and nothing happens, and you really don't know, and I will never know. We will never know how many near misses we have had in life. God leads you to go another way, and nothing happens. That's the point. Nothing bad happened to you today because you didn't go in the direction of the drunk driver, and you didn't go in the direction of the child molester, and you didn't go in the direction of the wrong values and beliefs. You didn't go in the direction of the danger. See, sometimes if you're walking in wisdom, you will never see what you missed. You'll not know why. I mean, okay, so you stayed home. Well, good for you. But you don't know why. You don't know what you missed. I was scheduled to speak at a conference, and I really wanted to go. I mean, I absolutely wanted to go, and I was so excited about it. And the Lord dealt with me and dealt with me not to go. And I was one of the speakers. I was happy to be there. It was a WordCraft Circle of Native Writers and Storytellers conference, and I wanted to be there. And the Lord just kept dealing with me. You're not going. It's not safe to go. Don't go. And I didn't have a good reason. I had no reason at all not to go. And I wanted to go. And I got my car and I packed, and I got my car filled with gas. And this is before I had a family. I was actually in grad school, I think, and I wanted to go so much, and I wanted to see everybody, and I wanted to speak, and I wanted to go, and when I went out to my car, it wouldn't start, just wouldn't start, wouldn't turn on, wouldn't start, wouldn't do anything, and I was so sad, and I went back in my house, and I prayed, and the Lord was just like, no, you don't need to go, and I was sad. And I was sad, and I was sad some more, until the location where I was scheduled to be had an enormous tornado, a storm that weekend. And I realized I would have been on the road driving there. I would have been in the path of the storm. The location, the city I was supposed to be in, was in the path of this major storm. Houses were destroyed. All kinds of things happened that were awful, and I just wasn't there. I've had a lot of things like that. I realized after the fact God was trying to save me from something, and he did, and I thank him. I often have to fall on my face and just, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me from my own silly self. Because if you walk in wisdom correctly, there's a whole lot of things you will never see and experience and know that are bad or negative or unfortunate, because you just won't be there. You just won't know them. And sometimes God in his mercy lets us see, this is why I kept you away from them. This is why I didn't let you marry them. This is why I didn't let them in your house. This is why your child didn't go there or do this. But sometimes you never get that answer. You just have to trust God that what he has is best for you and for your family. And he is always ordering your steps toward good. All right, the moment we've all been waiting for. We've decided that wisdom is the principal thing, and wisdom is the force that will help and protect our families. So, how do we get it? I'm glad you asked. God is not hiding wisdom from you. He's hiding it for you. He wants you to have wisdom. God is not trying to be mysterious and unknowable and past finding out at this point, because if he was, he wouldn't have written a book, the Bible. And he wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, and he wouldn't have sent people who are, in the ministry as gifts to you so that you can understand and know and have the mind of Christ. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is a free gift. It's a gift. And all you have to do is ask. Humility comes before honor. And I believe the number one sign of humility is when we ask. We don't assume or lean unto our own understanding. We don't act like we know it all and have it all together. We ask God, Lord, I need your wisdom. I love these children, but I need your wisdom. Please give me wisdom in areas of my life and my family and my children and my motherhood and my fatherhood and my parenthood. When we ask, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom, please. And nothing is too small. A lot of times, if something happens that, a child is sick or injured, God forbid, then people start praying. But we can pray at every moment of the day, at every juncture of life, of every situation. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We're going to ask God, and we're going to believe that he's going to give us wisdom, and then we're going to walk in it. See, doubt and unbelief, we all think that's a mental condition, and it is to some extent, but it's also a spiritual condition. When God gives you that wisdom, you have to obey and walk in it. Otherwise, that's unbelief. Right? Yeah, right, exactly. So if God lays it on your heart that you should just go a different way, I know you're coming back from the play date and you always go this way from the park, but maybe God's leading you, go a different way. Well, okay, because if you go a different way and nothing happens, well, praise God, you went a different way, you still got home, you're all right. But if you don't listen to that and you go the way you always go and something's wrong, then what? We got to pray and believe God and get you back out of trouble. And God is so merciful, he will help you out of trouble. But in this day and age, let's just stay out of it in the first place. Let's just not get in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then everybody has to have a prayer meeting to figure out how to get you back. Let's not put our children in these dangerous and toxic situations. And we could pray and believe God, and God will help. But maybe we should just start with wisdom. I was praying about something years ago. And the Lord laid it on my heart. God is a God of prevention. And isn't that a wonderful place? Let's just move right around that problem. Let's just not have that one. I know in this world you'll have trouble, but Jesus has overcome the world. So, there will be problems. This is not the ticket to magical life, because this is still earth, and there's still other people here, and there's still situations that are challenging here. But let's move through those situations with as much wisdom as possible. And if we can miss some of those situations due to wisdom, let's use that wisdom. So the number one thing we want you to do is to ask. Just ask. God, please give me wisdom. I need wisdom to raise my children. I need wisdom for everything that I need to do in my family and in my home and in my life. Everything. I need your wisdom. And there's another place, another thing that brings wisdom into our lives. And it's John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I'm sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's Word is wisdom. We can ask God for wisdom. We can find wisdom in His Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, the Word of God, God speaking to you, there's a lot of answers that are already written down for you. They're already here. The Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit. When we ask God for wisdom, the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, so much wisdom. All wisdom. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Every parent, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will help you to raise your children. He will help you. He will help you. I'm so grateful for that. And of course, God has given us gifts, right? Our pastors, our teachers, our evangelists, our prophets. God has given us gifts. People who can help impart wisdom into our lives. And for those of us who are mothers, here's another source of wisdom. Titus chapter 2. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In this life, you can make mistakes or you can have mentors. And there are some wonderful women of God who can share their wisdom with you. How to parent, how to guide your house, how to have a better marriage, a happier marriage, how to do the things that you need to do and God has given you to do at this season of your life. And then the fun part of it is, everybody is an elder to somebody. So, you know, if you've got a kindergartner, there's somebody with a newborn who's like, please help me through this stage. And your wisdom is a lifeline to them. There's somebody right now, their child, you know, their children are grown and they're off at college or they have careers or they're doing whatever. And yet, if you spend some time with that grandmother or that mother, she sure can help you put your preschooler's problems into perspective. Yeah, and even all of us being together here at a time like this means that we can share our wisdom with one another. Wisdom is the principal thing. And in this day and age, wisdom will help you, it will guide you, it will keep you. Ask God for His wisdom. It may come through His Word. It may come through the Holy Spirit. It may come through Jesus Himself who has made our wisdom. It may come through your pastor or a leader. It may come through a woman who is a guide and a comfort and a mentor to you. But however it comes, if it's in a good way, it's a blessing from God. It's a blessing to share with all of you today. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for having me speak to your group today. I am so honored and so blessed to be able to share. Lord, we ask for your wisdom in every area of our lives, now and always. We ask for the wisdom in our homes, in our families, in what we do, in who we are. And most of all, right now, we ask you, liberally, upbraideth not, we're asking you for your wisdom to raise the beautiful, wonderful children that you have entrusted us with. Motherhood is sacred, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and for letting me come here today and share with you. God bless all of you. Always.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.